This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The sport known as Australian rules football, or footy, has a lot of rules. And to a newcomer, it might seem like it has a lot happening at any given moment. It's got running and passing, but not forward passing. It's got tackling for players and punching of the ball. It's played on an oval field that evokes rugby, but also, if you squint, Quidditch. Now add dribbling, as in basketball, but only sometimes, and kicking, though it's a very different kind compared to American football. You can jump online to see videos of footy, but you can also see it right here in St. Louis, which has its own Australian football team. And even if you don't know the rules of footy, you can hear just how much fun they're having while playing it. And that is the club song of St. Louis's Australian football team. This moment on the field came earlier this year as the squad celebrated its win over its division rivals. The team has been around for decades, but it has taken a big step in just the last few years. The sport itself is steadily gaining popularity and attracting players who are ready to take on its rules. And to talk about Australian rules football and the recent success of its team in St. Louis, I'm joined by two of its players. Dave Zitko has been with the team for more than a decade. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Excited to be here.
And Rhiannon Duryea joined the team in 2023 and is a member of its executive board. Rhiannon, great to have you here as well.
Thank you so much.
So as we heard, there was a lot of excitement, and there is a lot that goes on with this sport. And scoring, it happens primarily through kicking.
Correct.
And I understand, Dave, that that is one of the most difficult things to teach new players. Why is that?
I think it's just... it's a different way of, the mechanics are different from what people are typically used to, like in sports that you grow up playing here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But I find that soccer players definitely pick it up the quickest.
They do, okay.
But it's more of like a straight line sort of motion where your body is like following. I teach players how to do it, like basically walking down a straight line and keeping everything in a nice straight line. Mm-hmm. And then when you drop the ball, you kind of hunched over and it's this kind of awkward hold. The ball is as you can see, it's kind of a funny shape, and so the grip and everything is unusual, and it's kind of funny because grown adults look like 7 or 8 year olds when they first start out.
It's okay.
And then, you know, they work on it, and it's just like anything, and keep going, and before they know it, they're like running around the field kicking it like in their sleep.
Yeah.
So Dave was the one to actually teach me how to kick and punch the ball when I joined the team in 2023. And like you said, it's an awkward movement that you are unaccustomed to. But I think one of the great things about the team is virtually none of us had heard of Australian football until we were adults, much less played it. And so everyone is very supportive of that learning curve. Mm-hmm. And so you can go out there, kind of mess around a little bit, not be super great at it, and that's fine because all of us have been there.
How is it that you came to the sport? Rhiannon, I'll start with you.
So I had just moved to St. Louis, and I had seen footy before on TV. It was one of the first professional sports to start back up during the pandemic, but, you know, just kind of watched it and was amazed by, you know, all of the people on the field and the professional league. They'll do things called speckies where they like launch themselves off another player's shoulders to catch a ball. And I appreciated your description of it as Quidditch because that's kind of how I felt watching it.
Okay.
It was brilliant.
But just had it on the background, never really like looked into it much more than that. And I ran into the club when I was at Amsterdam Tavern watching the first City game. And it was just a great group of guys, great vibes. They invited me out to a practice. And having just moved here, I was like, okay, desperately looking for a way to meet people and make friends. So I showed up to practice and, you know, just started having a great time right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Is your story similar, Dave?
I wouldn't say so. A person that I hadn't spoken to in a long time, we went to high school together. His brother was in the club years ago. The club started in 1997. He was in the club years ago, and I graduated high school in 2004, and sometime around 2009, 2010, I just get this random message from this guy I hadn't spoken to since high school. And he's like, you were in the military, you like sports, you know, this and that. Like, I think you'd really love this. And I was like, I was familiar because when I was a kid, I remember watching it on ESPN with my dad. When it was one of the first sports, like, they showed on ESPN a lot. And so I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot because I was looking for something competitive because I was just playing men's rec league soccer on Sundays, which didn't really scratch the itch that I was really looking for. Mm-hmm. And so got out and started, I picked up pretty quick and I was like, this is a lot of fun. And what I loved about it was it kind of gave me purpose for like exercise. Like I found myself tailoring workouts and running programs to suit playing football. Mm-hmm. And so that's what really like kind of locked me in. I was like, oh, all of a sudden I have a reason to go to the gym, not just to like have muscles or whatever, be fit.
Not just to get beefy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're not going to catch me doing sprints unless I'm doing it for a team sport to be competitive.
Exactly.
And it is a team sport that is full contact, mm-hmm. and you do so without pads. Mm-hmm. So in addition to learning how to kick this ball that is about the size of my head and oblong, how do you hit someone the right way in footy? How do you explain that, Rhiannon?
We call it more of a wrap-up than a tackle. I think the point is to impede the movement of the ball. And so you're not necessarily trying to like take someone's feet out from under them like you see in American football or even rugby.
And you're not allowed to either.
Yeah. Mm. And so you're wrapping them up and trying to get them to either drop the ball or just be stuck there long enough that the officials blow the whistle and possession changes. And so, yeah, they're going to be hard hits, but they're different types. It's a different type of hit than you'll see in American football or rugby. And that is, in my mind, safer, especially considering you're not wearing pads or a helmet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's more glancing kind of contact, whereas like American football and rugby, you have two lines that move up and down the field, you know, and it's just running into each other. There is that happens sometimes. Like if I'm running one way and I'm looking over my shoulder or something, there's going to be somebody in front of me that'll hit me. But a lot of the times it's from the side, it's from behind where somebody kind of grabs you and kind of rolls you down. But like Rain said, you're trying to prevent them from disposing of the football. Mm-hmm. So if I can do that without going onto the ground, I get a free kick and my team has the ball. If I tackle them and the ball comes loose and we go to the ground and the umpire doesn't call it as a tackle, which there's a lot of, I guess, subjective calls in this game.
Oh, sure.
and so I'll be on the ground, they'll be on the ground, and then I'm not really much of use to my team if I'm on the ground. So
you want to stay on your feet, and so that means keeping the other player on their feet. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, too, like we're a competitive league and we're a competitive team, but all of us have to show up to work the next day, and so we're not out there trying to kill each other.
Right. I'd like to hear a little bit about the footy team in St. Louis. Dave, you've been referring to Rhiannon as Rain. Mm-hmm. This is the team name, your player name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why Rain?
Well, Rhiannon is really difficult to shout on the field.
This is true.
and my middle name is Lorraine, and so just shortened that.
Okay, and Dave, you go by?
We call him Regular Dave.
Regular Dave?
Because Dave, my first season actually was the president of the team, the coach, the operations manager. You know, he was marking the fields, reserving them. But as the team has grown over the past few years, Dave's been able to take a step back, and other people have stepped up into those positions. So he gets to be regular Dave and enjoy the sport as a player instead of, you know, president, captain, coach, all in one. Mm-hmm. So regular Dave, we really appreciate him.
But you get to wear the medals coming to to interviews.
Yeah.
It's definitely exciting. I was getting dressed and I saw it. I was like, I need to put that on for this because it's exciting. And we've worked hard the last few years especially. And it was kind of a letdown last year how we just missed making it to the final and couldn't quite get it done. And this year, you know, we showed a lot of growth. A lot of new players came mm-hmm. out, and they developed really well and have been a joy to watch their growth, just specifically just the guys that just started this year. Like from if I go back and I look at them from day one to where we've come, it's pretty exciting. And that's one of the things that I've found I'm really loving about it is seeing people pick up something and learn it and enjoy it, and it's a positive thing in their life.
Mm-hmm. Rhiannon, earlier you were describing how you came to the St. Louis Australian Football Club, mm-hmm. and at present, you are the only woman on the St. Louis team, but there are several other women in the league overall.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How do you navigate, you know, being an only as a player and as a team member?
Yeah, I would obviously love for there to be more women on the team. We're always looking for avenues to recruit and invite women to join, but one of the reasons I stuck around was because it is a great group of people who come out to practices and who show up to games. And, you know, whether on the field or off the field hanging out, I just have a great time and, you know, feel like one of the guys, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is important to me is that the team doesn't treat me any differently, you know, so go hard in practice, you know, hard hits, all those kind of things, because at regionals and nationals, I will play with a women's team and there's no holding back from them. You know, you're going to get hit hard there and you're going to have to run fast and do your best. And so if the guys have been treating me with kid gloves all season, then I'm going to be in for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm. Do you have advice for women who maybe are hearing this conversation and thinking about getting into this sport?
I'd say come on out. Yeah, it's a great time. And like I said, when we started, virtually no one on the team had played footy before, had heard of it. And we're always just very excited for anyone to come and be able to share the sport and share the experience. So it's a really welcoming place to be. And that learning curve will be pretty short, especially if you've played, you know, soccer. The movement is a lot of times very similar to basketball or ultimate frisbee, rugby. Like, if you have any experience in sports, like, you're going to like footy and you should come out and give it a shot. Mm-hmm.
And Quidditch?
And Quidditch, yes.
And I have to give props to producer Danny Wisentowski, who saw that parallel. So we're talking about St. Louis's Australian Football Club. They're coming off a championship win last month and now preparing for the next season. I'm talking with players Dave Zitko and Rhiannon Durier. Dave, you were nodding when Rhiannon was talking about wanting there to be more women part of this. And as I understand, you spent a year playing Australian rules football in Australia.
Yes.
Did you notice that there were more women playing the sport there?
So that's a great question, actually, because I was actually surprised there weren't as many playing there. And it really has only gotten to be something more serious in Australia in, I don't know, like the last 5 or 6 years, yeah. maybe not even that.
I was actually,
but the USAFL, there's mm-hmm. been women involved since like almost the beginning.
We just celebrated the 20-year anniversary of the Women's League. I think that's one of the things where you really see the advantage of that Title IX has played in women's sports in the U.S. I was talking to a woman from Australia at Nationals about the fact that the Women's League in Australia is really like only in the past few years getting up and going, and how her experience was to be discouraged from footy once you get out of like elementary school age.
Yeah, so it's really meant only to mm-hmm. be recreational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For women especially. Mm-hmm. And so she was, you know, praising the league, the USAFL for the development of the Women's League and how they have been so supportive for 2 decades now in women playing the sport.
Mm-hmm. Are there any lessons that you brought back from your time in Australia, Dave, that you have applied to playing with the team here?
I think I feel like I would have a hard time going into specifics, but like being part of a club in Australia where the game is played professionally and originated, I played at a community in like a rural country league. It's called country footy or whatever. It's like a minor league similar to like AAA baseball is what I usually equate to like the level of competition. Mm-hmm. I played with guys that played professionally. I played against guys that were former professional players. But seeing the club function as part of a community like you would, you know, like a small, like minor league, like hockey team or baseball team, like the community kind of really gets around that. Or like a college, I think it's probably mm-hmm. a little more.
Mm-hmm. Apropos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just got to see it happen and see it work and see how people who grew up in that town, they loved the club. They were at the club. Like on weeknights when we were at training, like the old guys would always be out there drinking beers, watching us practice. It was a sense of community. And I really wanted to create that here. And through this common enjoyment of sport, which I think, as you know, we're all familiar with how athletics brings people together, and you know, and so it was just that was probably the biggest takeaway I had, and just kind of seeing how it worked, and also getting some extremely good experience playing like competitive football at a high level, was able to help me understand the game better, teach people the game better. And really like look at things and say, okay, well, these are advanced and how can I bring this down and how can I teach people this game that are brand new, who've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. And the more people who know how to play, the greater potential there is for it to grow, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the start of our conversation, we heard you and your fellow players singing the team song last month, and you were in Arizona. It was after you won the league's division championship. And that game was against your rival, the Denver Bulldogs. What was that game like? You know, did you expect for the game to play out the way that it did, Rhiannon?
So I don't actually play with the men at Nationals. Mm-hmm. I will play with them during just like regular season games. But at Regionals and Nationals, I'm able to join up with a women's team. And unfortunately, I was playing my own game during that specific game. So I didn't get to see it, but I was able to watch some of their other games. And it was really nice to see the team, like, really firing on all cylinders. And just everything we had been training for together all season kind of come together exactly how you wanted it to. It was a magical weekend, to be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was the Division IV national championship, and like I think I'd mentioned earlier that we played Denver last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a semifinal game and lost, and they went on to the final to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we were certain that if whoever came out of that game going to the final had the shot, like, because that side of the bracket was much stronger than the other side.
Yeah.
So this year, we beat who we needed to beat, and our last the last test was Denver, and there was confidence going into the game, and but we knew it was going to be a very challenging game. It was going to be our toughest game of the weekend, and the boys just came out swinging. We were hitting hard and playing really well, and we were tired. It was our fourth game of the weekend. It was in the Tucson sun. It was around 90 degrees in the afternoon by that point.
The field
is huge. You know, you're running a ton. I think I covered over the weekend like 20, 25 kilometers.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there was a lot of anticipation and build up to that game, but we felt confident that we could do it. And we got to halftime and it was close, and then we pretty much just poured it on at the end. And it was really fun to be a part of. I've won several national championships and they've been pretty tight. And so this one we kind of started running away with it. But I was still like, there's a lot of game left. Be calm, be the veteran, like make sure everybody's like, you know, sticking to what they're doing, because the tide can change quickly in the sport. Like mm-hmm. it can score mm-hmm. very quickly. Like I've seen leads go away, like 20, 30 point leads disappear in a minute or two. Like it's quick.
Yeah.
And it really felt like the underdogs coming back, you know, redemption story, being able to win this year. Because yeah. Denver is a huge team. They've got
and they're good.
Yeah, and
they're good. They've always been good.
They have two teams. Their Division I men's team is like usually in the championship game. Mm-hmm. They've got a fantastic and very large women's team as well. I actually moved here from Denver, but I didn't know that they had a footy team when I lived in Denver. So it was kind of ironic when I came mm-hmm. out here and then started playing footy with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. But they're a great team and huge, and so it was really nice to see our team step up and mm-hmm. take that victory.
In the last minute from each of you, you're currently deliberating end-of-season superlatives mm-hmm. awards. Is there one category in particular that you're really excited to announce?
One of the superlatives is always best goal. And we've got a few nominations this year. My personal favorite is when Pinky, our president, Mark, scored a goal at Nationals, because he normally plays on the defensive line.
Forever.
Oh, yeah. And so, and he's been playing for years. And so this was his first goal, and it was at Nationals. And it was just a special moment, and so I love to see that for him and was really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. In about 20 seconds, is there one that stands out to you, Dave?
I mean, it's the biggest one of all. It's best and fairest, and I'm not sure who's going to win it this year. It's basically the MVP, mm-hmm. the best player of the club. So it's a tight race this year, so I'm excited to see who's going to come out with that one.
Yeah.
Rhiannon Duryea and Dave Zico are two members of the St. Louis Australian Football Club. The team celebrated its division championship over the Denver Bulldogs last month. Dave and Rhiannon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you
for having us.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.